This podcast was recorded Thursday, February 28th at 11:03 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like during hearings, members of Congress will actually ask questions designed to get answers rather than score political points.
That is no fun, Mike. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at the shrewd Snollygosters who toil in the world of Ohio politics. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up later in the podcast, John Kasich GPS returns. He's north of the border, so we'll get an update on his goings.
But first, another former presidential candidate is back to it again.
Hi, I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
So, Senator Sanders, you're going to run for president?
I am going to run for president. That's correct.
What's going to be different this time?
We're going to win.
A very confident Senator Bernie Sanders there. He announced his candidacy last week. This is, of course, his second time running for the White House. Remember, in 2016, Sanders lost the Democratic nomination to Hillary Clinton.
He certainly did. And after that loss, Sanders' supporters remained active. His campaign gave birth to the organization Our Revolution, and they have been endorsing candidates and pushing progressive policies over the past 3 years.
President of Our Revolution and former Ohio State Senator Nina Turner is co-chair of the Sanders 2020 campaign. And Senator Turner, you join us now on Snollygoster. Welcome.
Thank you, Mike and Steve. It's so great to be with you.
There are so many progressive candidates this year. So I'm going to play a clip from NPR's All Things Considered. It's a politics reporter. Asma Khalid talked with Arnie Aronson. She is a radio talk show host in New Hampshire who supported Bernie Sanders in the past.
Sanders has helped craft the Democratic platform, but Aronson wonders whether he's the right candidate to take that message into the White House.
Does it have to be him? I don't think it does.
She's also looking for something new.
I think that it's time for us to start creating a new bench. And the new bench isn't old. It shouldn't be white. It probably shouldn't be male.
So Nina Turner, is she wrong? How do you react to that?
Well, I react to that to say that discrimination in any form should be unacceptable, especially ageism. And that's what I heard in that comment. Certainly, she has a right to her opinion, as anybody else does. But if we're going to live in a society that automatically dismisses people because of their gender, because of their race and or ethnicity, religion, you know, sexual orientation, and that's not, you know, the more perfect union that we say that we're working towards. So, you know, to say that you have a preferred candidate is certainly fine. But the way she framed that, I think anybody of good consciousness who is continuing to fight for justice and equality for all should reject that kind of rationale for Senator Sanders or anybody else not to run. That's wrong.
But would you admit that feeling is out there among the Democratic electorate, especially younger Democrats, that they are looking for a new face, whether you consider that ageism or bias against white and male candidates? But would you agree that that feeling is out there among Democratic primary voters?
No, I won't admit that.
Okay.
I don't see that. And I've traveled to over 40 states in this country over the last year. Senator Sanders certainly won by leaps and bounds more of the millennial vote than both candidates in 2016 combined. There is still very much an energy among young and not so young people for his candidacy. And what are they looking for? They look to his authenticity. And it's not enough to say that the Democratic Party is following his lead and now he should step aside. Why would you take, when you can have the real thing, why would you take an imitation? He has been a champion for these issues all of his life, starting off, as a 19-year-old, young man. And people are going to hear more, Steve and Mike, of his narrative and where he comes from and what has brought him to this place in terms of his thinking about how to lift people. And this is not about white men. God knows this is not about white men, but this is really about what kind of society that we want to live in. And I want to go back to that point of discrimination. None of us should accept discrimination, and it's wrong, no matter who it's towards. I subscribe to what Brother Malcolm X once said, that I'm for what is right, no matter who it's for or against. And if we are, as Democrats and anybody else in this country, going to look at people and say, you're too old, you're too white, you're too black, you're too brown, you're too red, That's the only context that I'm speaking of that in. And I'm saying that as a humanitarian, not just as a supporter of Senator Bernie Sanders.
You mentioned the excitement among millennials. That was there in 2016. Bernie Sanders is largely championing the same issues he was in 2016. Why will the result be different in 2020?
Well, the senator has been, you know, at this, you know, longer. I mean, he has really that robust national profile.
More name recognition.
Name recognition, absolutely. And he is the most popular elected official right now across this country and even in the world. And he's had more time with that name recognition, continuing to do the work. And I want to give you and your listeners some examples of that. You know, he stood up against, I mean, he could have, you know, he went through the primary. He could have said, you know what, I'm out of this. I'm just going to go back to doing business as usual. But as you said, in introducing me, you know, he's the legacy creator of our revolution, even though he doesn't run it. He created that. He said, I want millions and millions of people to get involved. But in his work, though, he has continued. I mean, he looked Jeff Bezos, you know, he stared down Amazon. He said, raise the minimum wage. And he did that with people all across this country in the labor movement. And guess what? Jeff Bezos had to relent and he raised the minimum wage. If he hadn't been fighting for that, that would not have happened. The same thing with Disney. They raised their minimum wage. So those are just two. He's been on the picket line even just recently with some of the Marriott workers. In other words, he continues to be the champion that he has always been. And it's not just through legislation. He gets out there on the ground with the people. He's still doing that great work. And I submit to you that he still has that same fire, and people are still attracted to that. Look at how what he did with grassroots dollars when he announced in less than 24 hours. He raised $6 million, less than 24 hours. And he asked 1 million people to sign up to volunteer. And guess what? He has over 1 million people. So he is going out to speak to the very people who need this change to happen in this country, that we lift people.
Does he run the risk of splitting the Democratic vote? His hometown newspaper in Montpelier said, quote, we fear a Sanders run risks dividing the well-fractured Democratic Party and could lead to another split in the 2020 presidential vote. And it's one thing to start a revolution, but at a certain point, you need to know when to step out of the way and let others carry the water for you. That's according to his hometown newspaper.
Well, that's laughable. Does Elizabeth Warren run the risk of Senator Warren run the risk of splitting the vote? Does Senator Booker run the risk of splitting the vote? Does the Secretary Castro run the risk of splitting the vote? Does Vice President Biden, who has not gotten in the race as of this interview, does he run the risk of splitting the vote? You know where I'm going with this.
I do. Do you think he's at all damaged by the fallout from 2016 when a lot of his supporters refused to back Hillary Clinton and refused to coalesce around her as a candidate? Certainly not all of them, but a lot of them did. Do you think that weighs him down at all?
Absolutely not. I'm so glad you brought that up. I want people to check the receipts. More of Senator Sanders' supporters voted for Secretary Clinton than her supporters voted for President Barack Obama in 2008. And I do want people to roll the tape on that one.
Let's get to the issues. We're speaking with former Ohio Senator Nina Turner. She's co-chair of the Bernie Sanders 2020 presidential campaign. You mentioned the minimum wage a moment ago. Another issue that Bernie Sanders has been pretty consistent on, even in 2016, was what he refers to as Medicare for All, which is basically a government-run health insurance system. Many candidates have latched onto that. It's very popular among Democrats, less so among independents and moderate Republicans. Can a Democrat, certainly a Democrat can get through the primary and maybe win the nomination with that platform, but can a Democrat win the general election supporting Medicare for All?
I think they can. I mean, the last time I checked, health crises knows no political affiliation. You know, in other words, that no matter if you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or no party at all, people have human suffering. You know, everybody gets sick, or everybody knows someone who gets sick, or you have a situation in your life where you're going to need, you know, high quality health care. And certainly Democrats support it more, you know, according to the polls, than some of our Republican sisters and brothers. However, the issue polls at 70% across the political spectrum. So I believe that if the Democratic Party needs to continue to be the party that champions health care for all, Representative Pramila Jayapal, you know, just introduced her bill this week, a Medicare for all, comprehensive Medicare for all bill. She has over 100 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, and that really is a strong sign. That wouldn't have happened but for the fact that Senator Sanders, no matter if it was popular, politically correct or not, with score points, has been consistent on this issue. The National Nurses United, and God knows the nurses know better than anybody because they see all of us in some of our lowest moments when it comes to health care, have been championing this for a very long time. So, yes, I do believe Democrats should stick to that, and absolutely we can win because we're really talking about the human condition and what is needed. And if people don't have their health, they don't have a whole lot of other stuff.
Bernie Sanders talks a lot about how he is a democratic socialist. Do you think that the last part of that, the socialist word, is that, you know, a lot of people have long considered that kind of a taboo word in American politics. Where do you think that stands now? Do you think he has done he's helped to relieve any stereotypes of that word, or what do you think about the word socialist in 2019?
Yes, I think he has done a lot to alleviate that, and certainly, you know, people of a certain generation, you know, the boomers, for example, they grew up at a time where, you know, socialism was really a bad and harsh word. People lost careers over that. But in the 21st century, in 2019, not so much. And the younger generation, I would say from the younger side of Gen Xers to the millennial generation, they see that differently. And also, just taking a page out of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s book, when he said that we have socialism for the rich, but rugged individualism for the poor. And that really is the premise by which Senator Sanders has been a champion for the people. And that is part of it, that we as a country have to admit that that having all of the wealth go to even less than 1% of the population. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the middle class is holding on for dear life. And if you are at the bottom of that rung, the very poor, you're barely making it by. We can't sustain that. 70% of our economy is a consumer-based economy. What is good morally is also good economically, that we need more people to be living a good life, not a decent life, people to have good jobs, people to be able to send their kids to college. You know, the fact that college costs so much, that's also a strangulation on the middle class. And for so many people, the way to get to the middle class is through a good education or through the trades. And so we need a champion to stand up and say that the system is rigged. The way this economy is going, the politics in this country, social, political, economic, the environment is not the way. And I am here that when I become president of the United States of America, I am going to work hard to make some crooked paths straight. That speaks to all people, not just one political affiliation.
How about you've worked with Sherrod Brown, I'm sure, fellow Ohio Democrat. He has not officially entered the race yet. He's still seriously considering it, as he says. Why not support him, fellow home state Democrat, over Bernie Sanders?
I'm supporting Senator Bernie Sanders. I was with him in 2016, and I said to him if he ran again in 2020, I would be with him. He has the heart-soul agreement that is needed to take this country to the next level and to bring people together, to answer to the hopes and the dreams and also the suffering of people in this country. So that is who I am with. And, you know, if Senator Brown decides to run, I'm one. Every Democrat that wants to run, people should run. This is America. And so I'm not with folks who tell people they shouldn't run or they need to get out of the way. To me, the more the merrier. Let's run. Let's have this debate on the Democratic side. It's going to be a beautiful thing. And then it will give the American people real choice. But I support Senator Bernie Sanders.
Nina, we spent about 13 minutes now talking about Bernie Sanders. Let's talk about you. The campaign also chose you to be the co-chair for the 2020 campaign. You're a former state senator. What are your future plans after this?
I'm going to the White House with the senator.
What would your role in the White House be? Do you have any plans? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. We got to get through this election first, but I said that kind of, you know, half jokingly. But no, you know, I really am focused. I'm really honored to be one of the co-chairs of the senator's campaign. That means a lot to me. I think it says a lot about how the senator, you know, believes in me and my leadership, and then my other co-chairs, Congressman Ro Khanna from California, Mayor Cruz from San Juan, and then Ben Cohen of the Ben and Jerry's fame from the great state of Vermont. He has a great mix in terms of his co-chairs, and we come from different walks of life and we bring strengths to the table. But I am honored. This Cleveland, Ohio girl is the co-chair on a presidential campaign that has the ability to change, you know, change this country and hopefully change the world. So I'm really proud of that.
Do you at least have a half an eye on maybe Rob Portman in a couple years, or the governor's race in a couple years? I mean, is that beyond the realm of possibility?
Nothing is beyond the realm of possibility. I'm glad you asked me that, because certainly I do get lots of folks saying, we need you back home full time and we would love to see you run again. And running again certainly is on my list. It's one of the options that I have. And God knows, you know, I would welcome the opportunity someday to do that. It's not off my list of things to do. So,
well, if the vice presidency doesn't work out for you, Nina Turner, we'll look for you. We'll look for another run here in Ohio politics. Nina Turner, Cleveland native, former Ohio senator, and now the co-chair of Bernie Sanders' 2020 campaign. Thank you so much for joining Snollygoster.
Oh, thank you, Mike and Steve, so much. And to all of my Buckeyes, O-H-I-O, I take that everywhere that I go. I love my state. So thank you so much for helping me to come home.
Go Buckeyes. Take care.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye.
It's time to pull out the hammer and break the fire extinguisher case, because we're pulling out an old segment.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck. So,
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
Ground control to Major Tom. Help me. Take your protein pill. Oh, no, no, not that. Here we go.
It's the John Kasich GPS, which we have used in the past to track the former governor around the country, and he's back.
He is. He's on CNN regularly now. That means he's not on NBC, CBS, or ABC. But as his fundraising email says, he is keeping his options open.
Yes, options are open. So maybe that's why this week he went to Canada. Vancouver, to be exact, where he gave a speech calling on Republicans to do something to address climate change.
I think he took civics in high school. You don't really find American votes in Canada, but he's just getting his message out there. He's just building name recognition still, I guess. He's not really a hot commodity now that he's just on CNN.
Yeah, I mean, he's still active on Twitter. He's fallen kind of off the radar. I mean, Bill Weld, of course, the former Massachusetts governor, has...
Your guy, Bill Weld.
Yes, I covered Bill Weld back in the 90s.
I've heard some Bill Weld stories from you.
He was a funny guy to cover. He jumped in the Charles River outside of Boston one time on an environmental story. He just dove in, fully clothed, into the Charles River.
I like it.
You know, love that dirty water. He was all wet. But anyway, so he has launched an exploratory committee to pursue a run for the presidency. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan is actually getting more buzz these days than John Kasich is. And he's keeping, quote, his options open. And he says, like John Kasich, he's not getting in there unless Trump's popularity rating, which is very high, unless his popularity rating drops among Republicans.
Very high among Republicans.
It's like over 80%, 85%.
Yeah, 6 months ago, I would have told you I was certain that John Kasich was running. Now that he's on CNN, now that he's fallen off the radar, maybe he's just fallen off my radar because I read the news every morning and I'm not reading any John Kasich stories anymore. But I don't think there's any buzz around John Kasich anymore. He was kind of a hot commodity a year ago, 6 months ago. He was the Republican foil to Donald Trump. That's why he was on NBC Meet the Press, and he was on every talk show. It seemed like you would turn on the TV, John Kasich would be there. He's gone away, and I know that's because he's contractually obligated to CNN now, but I think that has hurt his name recognition.
Yep. But he's probably getting paid for those speeches in Vancouver.
He's getting some bank.
50 grand he got for one speech, so I'm sure that's the going rate. So
that's a good gig if you can get it. Let's turn now to another segment that we have been doing every week, the Snollygoster of the Week. And this week it goes to the Republicans who are defending Ohio's congressional map. And by defending it, I'm making air quotes right now because that is a generous term.
Yeah, Ohio's congressional map is clearly gerrymandered. We're a nearly evenly divided state between Republicans and Democrats, yet Republicans hold three-quarters of our congressional districts, most of which are oddly shaped, to say
banana
the least.
Banana-shaped?
Yes, squiggly line-shaped. And drawn specifically to give the GOP an advantage.
They really are. And Monday marks the start of a federal lawsuit in Cincinnati where groups including the ACLU and the Ohio League of Women Voters are suing to argue that the map unfairly gives Republicans a political advantage. The map is now scheduled to last until 2021, but this lawsuit seeks to have it thrown out immediately and redrawn ahead of the 2020 midterm elections and the presidential election.
Yeah, similar to what happened in Pennsylvania,
yep,
where they had
exactly.
to redraw it before the last election. Well, Republican Secretary of State Frank LaRose has not really defended the map, but he says throwing it out before 21 would create confusion among Ohio voters.
Confusion. Yeah, pretty tepid defense of the map.
Yeah.
It's very clearly a gerrymandered map. As we always say, Democrats do it as well when they're in charge. They're very fond of gerrymandering. The party in control always does. We do have a new amendment or a ballot issue that passed last year, so this will be
the first test.
This will be tamped down going forward, but for now, we do have a very gerrymandered congressional map.
We'll see what happens in 2021 after the census comes out, because we'll likely lose another seat, probably, if projections hold.
If you have any thoughts on the congressional map or anything else about Ohio politics, if you want to recommend a Snollygoster of the Week, send us an email, please. You can send that to snollygoster@wosu.org. You can also leave us a good review on iTunes, tell your buddies about us, tell all the Snollygosters down at the State House to give us a listen. We always want more listeners. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. We'll be right back.